following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you experiencing grief? Grief is a universal, normal, and natural response to loss. But there can be harmful ways to deal with it. This is 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Gawn. People may tell us to move on and get over our loss. But what if we don't know how to do that? On our program, we'll help you get started and teach you how to process your grief in a healthy and safe way. Now, here's your host, Melody Gawn.
Hello, and welcome to 50 Shades of Grief. I'm your host, Melody Gawn. This program is about grief recovery and so much more. This program is designed to cause a universal heart awakening of wholehearted loving and living. This is our sixth week together, and we're well on our way to causing a universal heart awakening. I want to thank all of you for listening, for your feedback, and for sharing what you're learning with others. If you've been listening since week one, I want to acknowledge you for continuing to tune in to your heart and to the program. Statistics show that the average person will not make it past week three of a program of this nature, especially a program that continually asks you to go a little deeper than you've gone before and to reflect on what you're learning. If you're joining me for the first time, welcome. I want to acknowledge you for taking the first courageous step onto the path of your heart healing. This program has been designed to provide a safe space to talk about grief. By talking about grief and by sharing personal stories, we can normalize the natural response to loss of any kind rather than trying to avoid it. Life isn't about avoiding, suppressing, or numbing pain. It's about embracing each loss experience and the natural emotional response that follows, as gracefully as a tree accepts the loss of its leaves in order to make way for new life. In order to do this, you will need to unlearn your current coping strategies and then learn to take a series of action steps to complete your unresolved grief so you can truly let go and move on. This is where coaching can be beneficial. People typically look for a life coach when they're feeling out of balance or unfulfilled in life. Usually, they're looking for something more. They're looking for more balance, more fulfillment, and more happiness. After providing life coaching services for a couple of years, I started to see a pattern emerge. As hard as my clients may have tried previously to make changes in their life, the change was not sustainable. The most common roadblock was the incomplete thoughts and emotions of past relationships. My clients were dragging their emotional baggage with them into everything they did. The incomplete emotional relationship baggage was impacting them at a relationship, career, health, and financial level. I had one client who had been with her boyfriend for a couple of years say to me, if she could just get her relationship to work, then she'd be happy. And when she was happy, then she could focus on her career, health, and finances. It turned out that once she was emotionally complete, she realized she'd be happier without that particular relationship. Once she became emotionally complete, she was happy, for the first time in a very long time. From that place of internal happiness, she changed her career, took her dream vacation, and found a loving relationship. My client began to experience wholehearted loving and living. Being emotionally incomplete and carrying an unresolved grief story can prevent you from realizing personal and professional success, health, vitality, and joy. This is why I'm fully committed to using the principles of the grief recovery method in my coaching practice. I see this heart healing tool as a fundamental step in helping you learn to let go in order to move on and become more balanced, fulfilled, and happy. Everyone has a story of loss that has touched their heart in profound ways. This is your grief story. The way you learn to integrate your loss experience into your daily life makes you who you are. Once you learn how to heal your broken heart, your relationship with yourself and others will shift. It has to. When you learn to accept and process the emotions of loss, you will start to live in harmony with the natural rhythm of life. You will begin to understand and appreciate the natural ebb and flow of life and loss. When you do this, you will find the happiness and joy your heart is yearning for. You see, it's not the loss of the grief, the loss or the grief that causes you pain. It's the way you relate to the loss. It's your mind's unwillingness to allow your heart to feel the experience and the emotions of loss. There is a universal belief that you should get over it versus go through it. Intellectually, you may have convinced yourself that you're over the loss, but your heart is saying something different. Your heart is yearning to be happy again. Your heart knows it can heal, and it's trying to convince your brain that it's time. Everyone can learn to heal their broken heart. It just takes a willingness to do something different than you've done before. Over the last 6 weeks, you've heard various people share their experiences of loss and their personal journey through grief. These stories have been as unique and varied as the individual and their emotions of grief. These stories reflect the universal truth of grief and are intended to help you see, know, and understand that you are not alone in your experience of loss and grief. It's my hope that these stories will touch you in a way that inspires your brain to take action to heal your broken heart. In the first episode of 50 Shades of Grief, I provided an introduction to grief, what it is and why we don't like to talk about it. In the second episode, we talked about the universal truth of grief. Maxwell Adey highlighted that it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, how young or old you are, you will experience loss and grief in your life. Sometimes sooner than you want to, or sooner than nature would anticipate. For example, when a parent loses a child, or a relationship or a marriage ends. In the third episode, we talked to Yvonne Racine. During that episode, Yvonne and I shared our experiences with the grief recovery method and how it provides tools for life. We also acknowledged the importance of self-compassion, patience, and self-love during your grief recovery process. In the fourth episode, my client Chase Dobler shared his personal and professional success story. He shared how loss and life coaching not only taught him how to heal his broken heart, but also supported him in accelerating his life stream of becoming a professional hockey player. Chase shared his experience of feeling physically lighter and skating faster, and how improved concentration led to quicker decision-making. He also shared how the coaching exercises I gave him have become a part of his day-to-day experience of living. In the fifth episode, I was joined by Ashley Hugenberg, a registered psychologist and certified grief recovery specialist. Ashley and I talked about the physical and mental health implications of unresolved grief. After this episode, my oldest daughter questioned Ashley's opinion that grief causes cancer and ALS. I think it's important to correct what was heard by my daughter and possibly others. Ashley made an observation and shared an opinion based on her clinical experiences to date. She did not say unresolved grief causes cancer and ALS. What she did say is that when the emotional energy of unresolved grief gets stored in the body, it has the potential to manifest itself as physical and mental health issues. The existing medical model is focused on diagnosing and treating the presenting symptoms with medication versus determining the underlying cause, which could be unresolved grief. Last week, I was joined by John James, founder of the Grief Recovery Institute. John shared how the intense grief he experienced after the loss of his infant son led him to develop the grief recovery method. John also shared his 37 years' experience with the six myths of grief and how they are applied worldwide as a way of coping with grief. Although universal, these myths are not helpful and do not provide the action steps required to complete the emotions that naturally accrue in all relationships. As a reminder, the six myths are don't feel bad, replace the loss, grieve alone, just give it time, be strong for others, and keep busy. At the end of last week's episode, I left you with some questions to reflect on. I'm curious what you noticed. How often did you hear the people around you, media and society, promote these six myths? How often did you catch yourself wanting to offer one of these myths to someone who was grieving or upset? What new action did you take as a result of your new awareness of the six myths? If you haven't listened to the episodes 1 through 6, I encourage you to go back and listen. All episodes are recorded and available for download on my website and on Voice America's website. Each episode is intended to support you in your journey through grief and contains an exercise for you to try throughout the week. These exercises will give you a sense of what it would be like for us to work together. We are 6 weeks into a 13-week program. I'd love to hear what you're noticing, what you've learned, or what you're doing differently as a result of tuning in to your heart and this program. Please send me an email at melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. This week's episode is titled Your Grief Story. Before I introduce my guest, I'd like you to take a deep breath and close your eyes. Now, I'd like you to imagine getting up tomorrow morning, going about your morning routine, heading out the door. As you set out, you start anticipating all the wonders of the day ahead. Then, without a moment's notice, a tragic accident or incident changes the course of your day and the course of your life. This accident or incident causes you to lose your deeply held hopes and dreams, all in a split second. When you woke up in the morning, it was just another day. By the end of the day, your life has changed forever. Life-altering events happen to everyone, not only when someone dear to you dies, but also when careers and relationships end suddenly. There can also be multiple losses within a sudden loss event. One of the biggest unrecognized losses can be a loss of hopes and dreams. Tonight we're being joined by Charmaine Ironside. Charmaine is a former Canadian national snowboarding team athlete and was on track to compete in the 2010 Winter Olympics until a severe injury crushed her Olympic dream. She is now a fitness consultant and owner of Ironside Fitness in Calgary, Alberta. In a society that tells us to be strong for others and to let go and move on, people often hide or minimize their grief story. Tonight, I've asked Charmaine to share her grief story, the story of her tragic accident, her loss of career, and her loss of hopes and dreams. The reasons for doing this is that by sharing stories of tragedy and triumph, Charmaine can normalize her grief experience while providing a message of hope that may inspire you to heal your broken hearts. Charmaine, I want to thank you for being with us tonight and your willingness to share your grief story. I was going to have us jump right in, but we're going to move to a commercial break in a minute or so. So maybe you can just tell us before we go to the break, when did you decide you were going to be an Olympic snowboarder?
Hi there. So I guess I decided I was 18 years old, and it was my first ever snowboard competition, and I actually had just gone to watch my brother and decided why not enter, and just fell in love with the competitive side of the sport, and that was kind of what really spurned me to start competing in snowboarding. So pretty late entry to the sport, but I worked really hard and followed my passion, and so that's when I really started to dream of the Olympics.
Wow, so you were 18 and you had this whole idea, your future path was laid out for you, and you knew what you were doing and where you were going.
Yeah, I just felt like that was what I was meant to do. So,
and all in a second it changed. So right after the break, I'm going to have you share your story, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about your loss of hopes and dreams.
Sounds great.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Have you experienced loss, either recent or long ago? Are you trying to escape from your emotional pain by self-medicating, overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, or overspending? Do you feel stuck? Do you wonder what your life would be like if you could just figure out what your purpose is? All Seasons Coaching recognizes the fundamental truth that we can't love and live without experiencing loss and grief. We are all here to learn how to embrace pain and darkness and restore joy and light as gracefully as nature accepts change. All Seasons Coaching offers a variety of tools, workshops, and coaching services designed to facilitate a myriad of grief experiences and life transitions. It takes a willingness to do something different than you've done before, to learn how to let go in order to love and live fully. If you or someone you know struggle to enjoy life due to painful memories of loss and you don't know what to do about it, go to www.allseasonscoaching.ca to see how you can learn to let go and experience the joy of living.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. She'd love to hear from you. Send her an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Again, that's melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Now, back to 50 Shades of Grief.
Welcome back. Tonight's episode is titled Your Grief Story. And tonight, Charmaine Ironside is sharing how a loss of hopes and dreams has inspired her to help others learn to move, feel, and look better 45 minutes at a time. Charmaine, we kind of moved to a break quickly there. So I'd like to start with you sharing your grief story, your accident, and how things changed for you so quickly.
Sure. So like I was mentioning, I kind of started into the competitive world of snowboarding at 18, and I decided that that's what I wanted to put my passion into. So I pursued kinesiology at University of Calgary and my snowboarding career at the same time. Within about 2 years of that first competition, I was on the Canadian development team, and that's when I knew the Olympics were definitely something that I was going to be very reasonable if I kept working that way. So it was February 2009. It was 1 year before the Olympics. I was ranked second in Canada. I'd progressed through the ranks quite quickly and was just loving life, living the dream, traveling around the world, training. And I was actually just at Mount Norquay, which most people know if they're living in Calgary, but it's just about an hour and a half from Calgary. And I was training for a competition, and I decided I wanted to go a little bit faster off a jump just to make the trick look a little bit smoother. So in freestyle snowboarding, the bigger you go, generally the better you can make a trick look. So I took a speed check out of my run up to the jump and went off that jump, and everything just changed as soon as I left the lip of that jump. My feet just came out from under me. I was very unstable in the air. And for whatever reason that day, I just wasn't able to get my feet back under me. So I flew through the air out of control and ended up landing at the very bottom of the jump right onto my back. So immediately I knew something was very, very wrong. I'd never fallen quite like that before. I remember just laying there. My goggles were filling up with tears, and I just remember trying to move my energy down to my legs and see if I could move my legs. And basically my worst fear on earth was to be paralyzed, and I basically prayed that I wasn't and went to try to move my legs, and I wasn't able to move my legs. So probably the scariest moment of my life, and it still brings me goosebumps to this day. So I laid there, and long story short, was taken to Foothills Hospital in an ambulance. A lot of it's a blur, but I remember looking at my dad as the doctor told him that I needed emergency surgery. I'd burst my T12 vertebrae into hundreds of little shards, and the shards were pushing into my spinal cord and severely bruising my spinal cord. And the worst case was I had to have surgery to stabilize, and that I might never walk again.
So what were you telling?
So that was kind of what I remember, and a lot of surgery later, I woke up in the hospital and kind of realized that I wasn't able to walk, and I had a lot of, I guess, reflecting to do.
Yeah, and what were you telling yourself at that point? What kinds of things were going through your mind?
Just, a lot of fear, and but still hoping that the surgery would go well and that I would walk again. A lot of sadness because I knew it was a bad injury, and I was kind of on top of the world that morning, like you said in your intro, and everything just came crashing down. So a very humbling day, and I was blessed that the surgery went really well, but yeah, a lot of fear, a lot of unknown, I guess.
Yeah, and you had to put a lot of energy, a lot of determination, and you even said your Olympic mind is something that helped you recover physically.
Yeah, so I was told from the beginning returning to snowboarding was not going to be a possibility, obviously, which meant pursuing the Olympics was something I needed to abandon. My nerve damage was so severe in my lower legs and my glutes that the doctors just said, "This, your basically career is over." But I was never one to take no for an answer, so I really used that Olympic mindset and that motivation that I've always had, and I just worked my butt off, basically, in rehabilitation. Within about a month after the surgery, I was walking again. I was released from the hospital, and, I just kind of kept that mindset that I was going to go to the Olympics in 1 year from then, or 11 months, and that's what kind of really kept me going.
Yeah, and so all of that helped you physically recover. What do you remember, if anything, that you were doing, or what tools were you using to heal your heart at that time?
Well, I think the tools to heal my heart came in later, because I basically put blinders on and focused solely on the goal of getting to the Olympics for the next 10 months. And then it wasn't until December, 2 months before the Olympics, I was back on snow. I was in Colorado for a competition, and it was my last chance to qualify for the Olympics if I wanted to go. So I actually ended up falling that day in training and breaking my tailbone. So 10 months after breaking my back and almost becoming paralyzed, I fell and broke my tailbone. And that was when that's when my heart really broke, because I realized that no matter how hard I tried to push my body just wasn't the same. And that was the day that I decided to retire from the Olympic team and the national team and basically start to grieve the loss of the Olympic dream. So I didn't have a lot of tools. I actually booked a trip to Mexico the next day and went and drowned my sorrows for a few days and just distracted myself. Like, I threw myself into finishing my kinesiology degree and building a career and building a relationship, and it actually wasn't until recently that I really took a look at how much pain was still in my heart from losing that career.
Yeah, everything started to pile up on top, I think, when I met you. We talked about a number of things, and so the loss of hopes and dreams, your loss of your Olympic career wasn't the only loss that you experienced. In the last couple of years, you've had a number of things, and one of those was the death of your mom. She had cancer. So do you remember at that time what you were telling yourself or what you were thinking and what people were saying to you?
A lot of time, I kind of just said, time will heal and it's going to get easier. With my mom, like, she's just telling myself that she's in a better place. And sometimes that made me feel better, but that was kind of what I would tell myself or what other people would say to help me feel better, for sure, after my mom passed away.
Mm-hmm. And then something else happened. There was more loss. And then that's when you were courageous enough to share your story or part of your story with all of your clients at the fitness studio. And that's when you sent out a newsletter. And you revealed something about yourself, which to me was showing vulnerability. And it was something that really drew me in as a client of yours. It was something that allowed me to connect to you and with you. And so would you share what that was about, what you recognized?
Yeah, so basically actually exactly 1 year after losing my mom to leukemia, I found out I was pregnant, which was exciting. That's what my husband Patrick and I wanted. And sadly, about 8 weeks later, we found out in the ultrasound that the pregnancy was not progressing. And by 10 weeks, basically, the baby's heart had stopped beating. So that was devastating. And just like after my mom passed away, I kind of went into a big spiral down. And my way of coping with grief at that time was just eating. So I would just eat to stuff down the sadness and the emotions. And I got to a point with my body that I was just really unhappy. I was running a fitness business, or actually two fitness businesses, but I wasn't really walking the walk. Food was just my way of comforting myself, and that's always been my way of comforting myself. So I really thought that sharing my experience as a wellness professional with issues with food would be powerful, because I think a lot of people struggle with those type of things.
Yeah, and so you recognize that what you were telling others not to do is something that you were doing.
Yeah.
And that's actually the point that you and I connected, and while you were telling me one thing, I was hearing something else, and it was that your heart was broken and that food was comforting you. And that's when I invited you to participate in the Grief Recovery Method.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if you would share what the biggest thing you learned by completing the workshop was.
Yeah, I learned a lot of things. So I did sign up for the workshop because I kind of just knew something was missing in my life. My zest for life, after so many big losses in a row, had really been dampened. And I mean, I was never blind to the fact that not dealing with your emotions could hurt you down the road, but I definitely didn't realize how much my unresolved stuff was affecting my life. And I also really wanted to be in my best shape to start a family. I didn't want to put my baggage on my future offspring, so that was a big reason for doing the workshop. I think one of the biggest things I learned was basically just how much those losses were actually affecting me, and how many even smaller losses, like obviously losing my Olympic dream, my pregnancy, losing my mom, those are big losses, but there was a lot of smaller losses that in the workshop I actually uncovered, like old relationships and situations where I'd felt abandoned and my parents' divorce. There was a lot of things that I just band-aided over and told myself to get over it. So I guess I learned that those were still there, and I had buried them so deep that I probably would have never taken a look at them and never kind of released them if I hadn't done the workshop. So that was a big learning. I could go on if you want.
No, that's great. And it really just speaks to how much we can stuff into that emotional loss pot and not know that we're carrying it. But some of the things you spoke to is the loss of energy. So even though you were a fitness facilitator and you had to get up every morning, it became a struggle for you to do something that you were so passionate about and sharing with others.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've definitely felt like since the course and since just working through different griefs and losses that, yeah, I carry a lot less baggage, and I think someone else said in an earlier interview, you just feel lighter, which is so true. It's like a weight is lifted off your shoulders, and you just have more energy for the good stuff.
And you have more energy to carry that baby around with you.
Yeah,
tote.
Exactly.
Great. Well, we're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, Charmaine's going to continue to share her grief story, a story of loss, hopes, and dreams that's turned into new hopes and dreams.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Have you experienced loss, either recent or long ago? Are you trying to escape from your emotional pain by self-medicating, overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, or overspending? Do you feel stuck? Do you wonder what your life would be like if you could just figure out what your purpose is? All Seasons Coaching recognizes the fundamental truth that we can't love and live without experiencing loss and grief. We are all here to learn how to embrace pain and darkness and restore joy and light as gracefully as nature accepts change. All Seasons Coaching offers a variety of tools, workshops, and coaching services designed to facilitate a myriad of grief experiences and life transitions. It takes a willingness to do something different than you've done before to learn how to let go in order to love and live fully. If you or someone you know struggle to enjoy life due to painful memories of loss and you don't know what to do about it, go to www.allseasonscoaching.ca to see how you can learn to let go and experience the joy of living.
Live up to your full potential. You've heard that for years, but now there's a channel to help you get there. Introducing the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Get motivated, hear about success stories, and positive encouragement. The Voice America Empowerment Channel is the home of the world's top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success experts. Listen to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. You are listening to 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. She'd love to hear from you. Send her an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Again, that's melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Now, back to 50 Shades of Grief.
Welcome back. Tonight's episode is titled Your Grief Story, and Charmaine Ironside is sharing how a loss of hopes and dreams has inspired her to help others learn to move, feel, and look better 45 minutes at a time. Charmaine, I wanted to talk a little bit about your experience in the grief recovery method, and I wanted to start by sort of reminding you that when you came to the workshop, you thought it was a specific loss. You thought you were coming to deal with the loss of your mom. And we ask the participants to be open to whatever shows up. So you actually ended up working on a different relationship. Would you mind sharing about that?
Sure. So, yeah, definitely the big kind of painful loss that was at the forefront was losing my mom, and that's kind of what I thought we'd focus on. But just upon reflecting, I realized that I actually felt quite a bit of peace with how my mom and I had kind of left our earthly relationship, I guess you could say, and the relationship that I felt was actually affecting me the most was the relationship with my dad. So I love my dad, and we have a strong relationship today, and I think part of that, it's gotten stronger for on my part because I'm able to accept a lot of things because of how I learned to use the grief recovery method. So just feelings, I guess a little bit of feelings of resentment and abandonment because of the divorce. Those are affecting my life and my relationship with my dad. Just some regrets even that I had. I think I took him for granted somewhat and things like that. So there's definitely some pain related to my dad and I's relationship. And through the grief recovery, I just really started to realize that holding on to those things and waiting for maybe things to be different or an apology, it just wasn't going to ever probably happen, and it's just not a way to live a full life. So it was harder said than done, but learning to heal, healing begins with forgiveness and releasing and not having a ton of expectations from another person, because that's always a recipe, or often a recipe for disappointment, I guess.
So you were able to complete the emotions that you were carrying for an existing relationship, one that you actually have an opportunity now to change, and you've said that it's strengthened the relationship with your dad.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he would say that, but I definitely feel like it's easier and more rewarding, and I don't expect certain things from the relationship, and I just have more gratitude for the time I do spend with him, and it just feels a lot more peaceful and easy.
And isn't that what people want, right? They want to just be at peace with what's going on in their life and find happiness now. So it's great that you had an opportunity to complete that now while you both have an opportunity to change the relationship.
For sure.
Yeah. So what else do you do differently in your personal life now that you've become emotionally complete?
Yeah, that's a big question. I definitely find now I have, maybe it's just more of an appreciation for the little things in life. I don't get aggravated as easily, I think, just because I'm able to not sweat the small stuff and these old emotions aren't dragging on me. I also feel like I have a lot more patience for people, and when I have someone in front of me that's having issues or in a lot of pain, I'm able to just listen, and instead of trying to always fix their problems, I'm able to just listen and be comfortable around their pain instead of always trying to comfort them. And I used to offer a tissue or try to find a solution, but sometimes what I've realized is people just need a listening ear and validation more than a solution a lot of the time. So I think that's helped me in my personal life. It takes the stress off me trying to solve all these people's problems, and it's in the end probably a lot more helpful for them.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot easier to just listen and let them be with their pain, because the pain moves through them if we don't try to shift it.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, I've done a lot of research and reading, and I think it's better now. I know for me, I'm more comfortable with it, but crying or letting other people cry instead of bottling up those emotions, because I think can lead to a lot of illnesses and problems in your life if you bottle things down. And I used to get sick a lot. I never get sick now. I just, when something comes up, I'm able to deal with it, and it's really been helpful for my life for sure.
Yeah, you had a really good example of your recent vacation of how you pulled out the tools of the grief recovery method. Would you share some of that? Because I know part of the story, but I'd like to know how the whole vacation turned out.
Yeah, so I booked a 12-day cruise for my husband. It was his 30th birthday present, and it's kind of our baby moon trip before the baby arrives in about 5 weeks. And so we flew down to New Orleans, and we were about to board this cruise boat for our luxury cruise. And long story short, because of my pregnancy, I hadn't read the small print, or I couldn't find the small print, but they denied us boarding onto the cruise. So we went from imagining these days on the boat, enjoying the water and the sun, and to having no vacation in front of us, basically, within a couple of hours. So it was pretty devastating at the time. And I think the biggest thing, actually, I'm a pretty sunny person, so right away I knew we had to do something. We weren't going to head home, but my husband said, let's just fly home and cut our losses. He was pretty upset. But instead of trying to just patch everything up and make a quick decision, we just actually went back to the hotel and checked back in, and I just gave him space to grieve the loss, because as much as it was a loss for me, he would agree. He took it a lot harder than I did, and he just wanted to head home and go back to work and basically forget about the whole thing. So before the grief recovery, I probably would have kind of prodded him and not given him any space to be sad for a day or two, and just pushed my agenda on him. But instead, I just let him be with his emotions. I went out for a big long walk and just kind of let him do his thing for a little while instead of pushing my agenda on him. So that was a big difference for me, because I like to patch things up and fix things, and instead I just said, it's okay to be sad about this for a little while, because it is a loss, even though it seems like a small loss in terms of some of the things maybe people experience. It still felt like a loss to us.
Yeah, well, a loss of hopes and dreams can impact us in so many ways. And if you had come home, then, you know, you wouldn't have had the vacation. There could have been some resentment there. Did he notice you being different with him than you had been before?
I'm not sure, actually. I'd have to ask him. I think he has noticed that I maybe give him a little bit more space and let him be with himself a little bit more than always trying to figure out what's going on in his mind, but I'm working on it.
Well, good for you. It's so neat to hear that after completing the workshop that you're continuing to use the tools, because it is something that I tell people that they're tools for life and they can apply in so many places, not just specifically to death or divorce. So you also had another story of something that you did in memory of your mom this year, and I wondered if you would share a little bit about that experience.
Sure. So this year, Mother's Day actually marked what would have been my mom's 65th birthday, also the two-year anniversary of her passing away. So she happened to pass away on Mother's Day 2 years ago, and her birthday was May 10th, so it always fell kind of around Mother's Day. So I planned a family brunch, and I arranged to spread her ashes according to her wishes. And one thing that I did as sort of like a ceremonial thing, which partly from the grief recovery method, I brought cards for all my family members, and we all wrote what we were grateful to her for. And then I also wrote a letter just apologizing for a few things that were left unsaid and things I wish were better, different, and more. And that was a big part of the grief recovery, was learning that that's what grief really is wishing something was better, different, or more. And so that was helpful for me to release, and then we burned the cards and letters, and yeah, it was just a special kind of, it felt important to me, and just a really good way to release. And I know there's still going to be some grief with my mom now that my own baby's coming in about 5 weeks, and there's a lot of sadness associated with not having her as a grandma. But yeah, I think just learning how to not have so much pain associated with it, and yeah, so I think there's still a lot of work to be done losing my mom, but every year it gets a little bit, changes a little bit, and yeah.
Well, and the important thing is that you're taking the action steps and that you have the tools, and I think it's particularly important because you are becoming a mom yourself. You don't want to be carrying all that emotional baggage, and Mother's Day is going to be a special day for you as a new mom. But it's going to be a difficult day for you as well. And so the more you can do to process those emotions, the clearer your heart will be for your new baby.
Yeah, I agree for sure.
Yeah, good for you. So what about now, let's move into how you use the grief recovery, maybe how you use it in your new business, not specifically that you're applying it, but how do you relate to your clients, or what do you see with them?
Yeah, I think it kind of comes back to that always trying to fix people's problems. Sometimes when people come and they want to talk, maybe they're struggling with weight loss or something like that, but often now I think I'm a lot more empathetic and just realize that it's probably a lot deeper than just wanting to lose 10 pounds. I'm not qualified to go too deep into their emotions, but I like to talk about emotional eating now, and that was something that I think I just thought it was too awkward to talk about before, and now just kind of processing and realizing how much I used food to stuff my emotions for my whole life, basically. It's easier to talk to clients about it, and I think it's really helpful for probably 90% of people that are wanting to lose weight. It's related to what you eat, but it's a lot more related to what you're thinking and feeling when you're eating, I think. So the grief recovery kind of really got me thinking about different ways that I use food to cover different emotions, and not even just food, distracting myself with work and shopping and things like that. So I think that's really helped me be more empathetic to my clients and offer them even more guidance that's more useful than just offering a meal plan or some nutrition advice. It goes a lot deeper than that for most people.
Yeah, there's always something underneath, isn't there? And then the things that we do, like you mentioned, the eating, the shopping, all of those things are the band-aids or the things that make us feel better in the moment. Unfortunately, they make us feel good, and then afterwards we realize that they're not really working for us.
Yeah, I often feel worse later on after those. Yeah.
Yeah, I think your ability to connect with your clients and your ability now to share yourself more fully is also going to help you just be a better fitness trainer, because you're already awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. All right, we're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll continue to talk about how Charmaine uses what she's learned to help people learn to move, look, and feel better 45 minutes at a time.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you experienced loss, either recent or long ago? Are you trying to escape from your emotional pain by self-medicating, overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, or overspending? Do you feel stuck? Do you wonder what your life would be like if you could just figure out what your purpose is? All Seasons Coaching recognizes the fundamental truth that we can't love and live without experiencing loss and grief. We are all here to learn how to embrace pain and darkness and restore joy and light as gracefully as nature accepts change. All Seasons Coaching offers a variety of tools, workshops, and coaching services designed to facilitate a myriad of grief experiences and life transitions. It takes a willingness to do something different than you've done before to learn how to let go in order to love and live fully. If you or someone you know struggle to enjoy life due to painful memories of loss and you don't know what to do about it, go to www.allseasonscoaching.ca to see how you can learn to let go and experience the joy of living.
Where can you listen to some of the world's top life coaches ready to share success tips and entrepreneurial guidance? The Voice America Empowerment Channel will do just that. Hear about personal growth, building a better business, inspirational life stories, and personal branding. You'll find it every day at VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. She'd love to hear from you. Send her an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Again, that's melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Now, back to 50 Shades of Grief.
Welcome back. Tonight's episode is titled Your Grief Story, and Charmaine Ironside has been sharing how a loss of hopes and dreams has inspired her to help others learn to move, feel, and look better 45 minutes at a time. Charmaine, what's the toughest thing about committing to a health and wellness program?
I think the toughest thing, I don't know if you mean for myself or what I've seen in general.
How about both?
I guess consistency is a big one. A lot of people come in with gusto and they're excited, and then they just, life gets in the way and they find excuses. And also, I think time is a big thing, but I personally think saying you don't have time is an excuse, because I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day to make sure I have time for my workouts. But I think a big thing to commit is just carving time out of your day to make sure that you can commit to your health and your healthy eating, because it does take more time than not eating well and not exercising, but you end up gaining time because you have so much more energy, you get sick less, and I find I'm so much more productive. So I think the toughest thing would be time and just being consistent.
And I think that applies to everything we do in life. There's always the fallback is no time and no money, but we all
right.
have 24 hours a day, and a big part of coaching is determining what's important to you, what are your values, and what
yeah.
are you willing to do to have that healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, so what kind, willing to sacrifice for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you keep getting up in the morning? What motivates you?
My big motivation is just being so passionate about my clients, and I love being an entrepreneur. I love running a business and just making myself I guess, better and stronger each day with my own workout routines and just building a successful and fun and exciting business that's helping a lot of people. So I wake up in the morning a lot of times just excited about what the day holds in terms of my business and, yeah, taking care of myself and getting ready for this baby.
And you do make the exercise a lot of fun.
Thank you. Yeah, I put a lot of passion and energy into the programming at the studios, so that's part of the part that I really, really love.
And you're at the studio right now, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, I can hear the class in the background.
A little bit in the background, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. You have two locations now, and you opened them very close together, time-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, so my first studio, before that I was renting a space somewhere else, but we opened it last January, so over, well, about a year and a half ago, and then our second location up in West Springs, we opened in June of last year, so almost a year old. So, yeah, we opened them within 6 months of each other. My husband came on board to help me kind of really develop this dream, and they're both doing great and helping a ton of people, like you said, move, look, and live better. And a lot of what we do is we do 45-minute workouts. We offer accountability measures. We offer nutrition coaching and just a real sense of community. So people are actually excited to come work out and feel way better when they leave than when they came in. So that's kind of what we do.
Yeah, and it's amazing to think that 45 minutes, right? You can do all of that in 45 minutes, and you really do feel better when you leave.
Yeah, that's like 95. I think that's like 3% of your day if you break it down into 24 hours. So everyone can make time for a 45-minute workout, I think, in a day.
Everyone can make time. Not everyone can make time at 5:15 in the morning, but
that's
everyone
fair.
Can make time.
That's fair.
Yeah. No, but you have a lot of sessions that you offer. You make it pretty easy for people to commit or to show up. Yeah. Good. Well, I want to thank you for joining us this evening. I want to just ask you if you have any final words of wisdom for someone who is trying to take control of their physical health and wellness and has a desire to move, feel, and look better. What would you recommend?
Yeah, I think a real passion of mine is setting strong goals, so I facilitate that with a lot of my clients. Just take time for yourself. You deserve that time to just sit down and write goals that excite you. Write goals that you can vividly imagine how they're going to feel to achieve them. And I do a yearly goal list, and then I break it down into monthly goals. And then from the monthly goals, I break those into action steps. So I think just making time for yourself to really set those goals, it's hard to know, make any progress if you don't really know where you want to go. And then just getting the momentum rolling. It doesn't have to be a 45-minute workout. It could be going up the stairs, three flights of stairs to work instead of taking the elevator for the next month. Any little change will really add up. And I think having guidance and accountability, not to do a shameless plug for my business, but I hire coaches for myself, obviously for grief recovery. I have a business coach. I've had fitness coaches, and obviously as a snowboarding athlete, I had coaches in that. So I think it's just so important to have people in your court that have been through it, that probably have a lot more knowledge than us, and that can help with expertise. So that's what we at Ironside do. We really offer you that accountability, the motivation, make it pretty much done for you. So if you show up each day, we're there for you to make you help you be really successful. And then the last thing I would say is make the change from a place of self-love. So exercise and eat well because you love yourself and you love your body, not because you hate your body. I know a lot of people, including myself, started dieting and exercising from a place of maybe self-loathing or self-hate instead of self-love. And it's so much more enjoyable and successful if you just come at yourself with some more love. So, yeah, those would be my little tips, I guess.
Great. So have a plan, commit to it, and self-love. Thanks very much for joining us tonight, Charmaine.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye. Everyone has a grief story, and the story will contain more than just the obvious physical loss. There are close to 50 losses that cause the wide range of emotions we call grief. A loss of trust and respect, hopes and dreams are all losses that may go unnoticed or unacknowledged. The problem is, if you don't learn to identify and complete the negative emotions of grief, you will carry your emotional baggage with you from job to job, house to house, city to city, and relationship to relationship. If your grief story will follow you wherever you go until you learn how to process your emotions that have been stuffed into your emotional loss pot. As much as your brain tries to convince you that you're over it, your heart will continue to ache. Your heart is yearning to dump the emotional baggage it's been carrying for 10, 20, 30 years or more. If you feel like it might be time to heal your broken heart and you're willing to learn how to let go of your emotional pain, please send me an email or call me. Together we can design a personalized program that is right for you. This may include finding a grief recovery method outreach program in your local area. Next week, I'll be joined by Patricia Hung of the Toronto Police Department and Victim Services. We'll be talking about grief in the workplace. Until then, from my heart to yours, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us this week. 50 Shades of Grief with your host, Melody Dawn, can be heard live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Please tune in next week to learn more.